Hey, before we start the city council meeting, I'm going to officially adjourn the study session. We got in touch with Benjamin Meeker, and he had a previous engagement, so he was not able to come for the interview. So, study session is adjourned, and now we'll start our city council meeting. Again, we will start with a moment of silence followed by the Pledge of Allegiance.
Davidson?
Here.
Mike Hill?
Here.
Sonia Hurt?
Here.
Eric Lewis?
Here.
Richard May?
Present.
And Mary Lou Stewart?
Present.
Ryan Lopez requests to be excused.
I have a motion to excuse Ryan, please.
I move to excuse Ryan.
Sorry.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Pass 6-0. Okay, our first item of business is a very special item. We are going to recognize Sally and Billy Church for all the work they've done in this community to help everyone in this community. So I'm going to read out a proclamation and present it, and then if Sally would like to say a few words afterwards, she's more than welcome to do so.
Sally and Billy, could you come to the podium, please?
I'm sorry, where am I?
Just right to the.
I wouldn't stand here and read this because I had a cold a week and a half ago, and I'm out of respect for your situation. I'm going to stand back here, but when I hand you the recognition, I will put my mask on. Okay? Yeah, no, I. This certificate is proudly presented to Sally and Billy Church in honor of your exceptional dedication and service to the Blaine Food Bank. For three decades, your unwavering commitment and tireless efforts have made a significant impact on our community. Your compassion and hard work have not only provided nourishment, but also hope and support to countless individuals and families. Throughout your years of service, you have been beacons of kindness and generosity. You made it about the people, ensuring everyone felt good and never ashamed. Your thoughtful gestures, such as bringing flowers from your own garden to brighten somebody's day, exemplify your caring nature. You consistently went above and beyond, inspiring volunteers and connecting deeply with those you served. As you retire, we extend our deepest gratitude for your remarkable contributions. Your legacy of kindness and service will continue to inspire us all. We wish you all the best in your future endeavors, knowing that your impact will be felt for many years to come. Signed this ninth day of December 2024. Mary Lou Stewart. I'm just going to sign this.
Thank you. Thank you so very much. This has been truly unexpected. Bill and I are honored to receive this award, not just for us, but on behalf of the hundreds of dedicated and selfless volunteers who have worked beside us and come before us. I thank you for the few minutes to offer our true appreciation to you and to this community. We've been so privileged to serve our community for the last 20 years, and we have found that there is no greater fulfillment than giving of yourself, your time, and energy in service to others. But we don't need to tell you that, because that's what you do every day. We at the food bank feel an immediate need. But you must address not only immediate citizen concerns, but also look ahead, as you are the stewards of the future of the entire community. And what a job you have done. Bill was born here, but when I arrived many, many years ago, I felt that it was a town that had seen better days. Although it was situated on beautiful Drayton Harbor, with a gateway to the Pacific Ocean on the west, majestic mountains to the north and east, and bordered with forest and flourishing fields, lush pastures of small dairy farms, small family farms, the town itself felt sad and neglected. It was like someone took a brand new Rolls Royce and put bumper stickers all over it. You couldn't see the beauty of the city. The town, very quiet during the week, exploded on the weekend with visitors seeking honky-tonks, cheap beer, and gasoline, Sunday alcohol sales, and adult movies and books. The buildings on Peace Portal bore the scars of the revelry of many booming weekends. But you folks, and those who came before you, with your vision and your passion and your courage, have changed all of that, and you should be lauded. Today, Blaine is still cocooned in the same idyllic and priceless setting, but the bumper stickers have come off, and the beauty of this hamlet by the sea that we can all be proud to call home is everywhere. Neighborhoods are now lined with well-loved and cared-for, restored historic homes with vintage charm and manicured lawns. Beautiful parks are enjoyed by all. Peace Portal is vibrant and a bustling Main Street that boasts remodeled buildings and inviting new, unique shops and thriving businesses. An evening drive down Peace Portal during the holiday season with a display of lights and music is magical. The summer hanging baskets and flower beds are reminiscent of an English village and encourage everyone to park their vehicles and walk to fully appreciate the beauty of the town and the harbor. Stop for lunch, ice cream, or a cup of coffee. Blaine has truly become a destination location, not for cheap beer or honky-tonk night, but for a weekend resort getaway, world-class golf, fine dining, and an amazing community event. The 4th of July celebrations, wings over water, music festivals, art galleries, Drayton Harbor Festival Days, Oyster Fest, and Ketoberfest all draw visitors from around the county and Canada. And as amazing as all of this is, I still haven't mentioned Blaine's most precious asset. It's citizens. Speaking from our experience with the food bank, I don't believe that there are more caring or generous people anywhere. We have never requested help without this community responding. From the young man who donates one can of food every single Wednesday night, and the Blaine Elementary School student who made 3D products to sell at the craft fair and donated all of the sales to the food bank. To our loyal, regular monthly donors who sustain us throughout the year. The schools, social clubs, and faith organizations that hold food drives on our behalf. And our golfers, the goof offers, and the good old boys that hold annual tournaments, tournament fundraisers, and are our lifeline between the growing season and the giving season when donations add. And our anonymous donors who sponsor the matching funds campaign and have funded a new freezer, roof, vehicles, a building for distribution, and two new coolers. And Northwood Chapel that has donated land for needed green space for the new building. And we have not forgotten you guys. The city of Blaine. For donating a portion of land for our permanent location and more recently sharing $100,000 of ARPA funding that provided us with sustainable milk for our families for 2 years. This community has given us a lot. However, the greatest gift that we received during our tenure with the Blaine Food Bank was getting to know the individuals and families that we are now privileged to serve. We received so much more from them than we ever gave. They taught us about despair, fear, abandonment, sacrifice, and humiliation. They also taught us about true giving, dignity, courage, and the power of hope. The possibility of change and the inner strength within each of us to face and conquer the unimaginable. Every single day we give thanks to them for all that they have given to us and pray to achieve their level of faith, strength, and courage. So, although we are very appreciative of your recognition, we feel so undeserving as we played a very, very small part in an operation that would be non-existent without the goodwill and generosity of our volunteers and this incredible community. We are profoundly grateful to have had such an amazing opportunity to serve and are so proud to be part of this extraordinary community. We thank each of you for what you do and what you have done, and for this recognition tonight. And as always, I thank you for caring. Without my handout asking for money.
And there are people that They give from their heart, and there's nothing to expect in return. Sally is over and above. You never find two people like this. You know, there's special people on earth, and not because they're my friends, because they're everybody's friend. They're honest, they're clean, and when they say they work, they don't sit back and watch. They work. They made that food bank today what it is. You know, you think about it, a lot of times people put a lot of effort into things and they don't get noticed. And these people are not the type of people that want to get noticed. They just want to be loved and appreciated and respected. And I believe these two people are staples in this town that a lot of people don't know about. And, you know, Billy's probably, I think, maybe figured out 100,000 hours and Sally's 250,000 hours. You think about that. How much time that these guys have put their heart and did this and did that for not for themselves. They didn't have to do this. This is what I call passion. And they both are extremely passionate people. And if you see them, just smile and say thank you. That's all they would ever ask for. I'm telling you, they're special people. And I thank you both for all you've done for the city. I see Billy driving up and down the highway, and I see Sally at events once in a while. Don't see him as much as I used to, but I still love him just like he's my brother. Bill was the first, like I said, first person I knew other than my brother and my sister. And I want to say personally thank you for all you guys have done. Not our old stuff, but what you've done down there is amazing. And when we give money to that place, it didn't bother me one bit because I knew it would be put to a good use. It wasn't going to be slept off down the road here. I'd hand them everything I got and say, run what I got. That's how much I trust these people. They're good people, and I thank you again. I think they need one more clap.
Consent agenda, approval of bills $663,876.87, approval of payroll $784,562.33, approval of wire register September, October, and November $1,395,161.90, approval of November 25th, 2024 City Council meetings. Resolution 1965-24, changing the final City Council meeting time. City Manager Employment Agreement Amendment Number 1. Management Team Employment Agreement Amendments. And that is the consent agenda. Could I have a motion to approve the consent agenda? Eric, thank you. Seconder?
Second.
Eric, second. Okay, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? And that is passed 6-0. We are moving now on to council action items. The first.
That last, the consent agenda, there was that moved by Eric and seconded by Eric?
Eric.
Can we refer to the council members by their last names if it's those two
particular
council members?
Thank you. Council action items. First of all is Blaine Tourism Advisory Committee ETAC appointments. Mr. Crawford, please.
So at this point in time, we had applicants for the at-large position as well as the large hotel position. For in terms of the large hotel position, one applicant. For the at-large, two applicants. What my plan of attack is going to be, I will ask every single council member individually what they'd like to vote or who they'd like to vote for in terms of the at-large position. Each council member will say a name, and let's say it's a 6-0, then we'll move on and a motion will occur to pass that person. If it comes out to, 3-2, right, maybe 3-2, never mind. The 4-2, then again, we move on. Council members say the motion for the individual who got the four votes, pass it, move on to the large hotel position. That makes sense.
When do we get the discussion? Before or after?
That would be before the vote.
So if anybody would like to discuss this, they may do so.
I would like that. As chair of the Blaine Tourism Advisory Committee, I know what we are missing on that committee and what we desperately need to help us be more effective than we already are. And Seal Bain's background with his affiliations with other groups and his experience with a large budget and drawing in different entities would be extremely valuable for us. And we need those connections, and I think it would be a very valuable addition.
Thank you. Anyone else would like to make a discussion on this before we vote?
So for the at-large position, our two choices are Gertie Baines and Cindy Slides, is that correct?
That's correct. Okay, if there are no further discussion, Mr. Crawford, would you then invite the city councilors one by one? You have one vote for either Zeal Baines or Cindy Slides. Okay?
We'll start closest to me, Councilor Lewis.
Cindy Slice.
Cindy Slice.
Councilmember Hill.
Zeal Baines.
Mayor.
Zeal Baines.
Councilmember Davidson.
Zeal Baines.
Councilmember Hurt.
Zeal Baines.
Councilmember May.
I'll stand on this one.
So we have four votes for Zeal and one for Cindy.
Okay, so could I have a motion then to approve the nomination or the appointment of Zeal Baines to be Blaine Tourism Advisory Committee? Okay, moved and second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Okay, nope. Any abstaining? You're abstaining. You're abstaining. You're abstaining, yes.
No.
Okay, so that's 6-0. Okay, so does that then include, is there any opposition to us appointing Kristen Gomez as the hotel?
No.
Okay, so she will be appointed then as the hotel's name is not.
We have
to actually have a phone call. I move that we appoint Kristen Gomez as our appointment for the Blaine Tourism Advisory Committee as a representative of the large hotel.
Is there a second? All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstaining? That's passed 6-0. Okay, we'll move on then to the Planning Commission appointment. And again, just to remind you, we had four people show up for an interview. One is returning, but there are three open positions. So each council member gets three votes. And I'll run down through the names just in case.
Could we have a separate motion for the one official returning?
It's still a vote. They're returning. Still a vote.
All right, thank you.
Because there's not a renewal slot. There are three slots.
Sure.
Okay, so the candidates and three of these you can vote on. Colin Hawkins, Donald Enos, Sam Randawa, and Jiggy Zorrell. Okay, so again, Mr. Crawford, could you?
And Benjamin as well, did you?
Well, he hasn't been interviewed, so I don't really.
I just wanted for Sam to make sure of the procedure because I think
we could vote for Benjamin Meeker.
Okay, we will add him, so there are five. We can add Benjamin Meeker then. Okay, so of those five, you get three votes. Okay, Mr. Crawford.
Will there be any discussion prior to the vote?
Discussion.
I just want to say for for Colin Hawkins, who's been on the board for several years and been on public works board for many years, he's got a lot of good experience, and I just want to make sure that we all recognize that. So,
yeah, I'd like to speak in favor of returning Colin Hawkins. He's got a lot of institutional knowledge. that it would be good to maintain, even if we're adding some new people. I also want to say that I was very impressed with Mr. Randawa, in his interview and him assuring us that if he felt there was some sort of conflict of interest, that he would bring that to the attention of the Planning Commission and possibly recuse if that would be the appropriate thing to do. I felt that was a good thing for him to mention.
Anybody else want to make any comments? And now I will make one comment before the vote starts. I am recusing myself from this vote, and the reason being that I'm a founding member of the Plain Community Foundation of the City of Sorrel, and therefore, if I were to vote on this, I think my vote would be perceived as being biased. So I am recusing myself from voting on this. Mr. Crawford?
All right, we'll start in the same order again. Councilmember Lewis.
I'm sorry, Sam.
Yeah.
Before we start, we're voting for three, correct?
That is correct.
To return Colin Hawkins, Don Enos, Sam Randawa.
Councilmember Hill.
Don Enos, Sam Randawa, and Jimmy Sorrell.
Councilor Davidson.
Colin, Sam, and Judy.
Councilor Hurt.
Hawkins, Enos, and Sorrell.
Councilmember May.
Hawkins, Enos, and Randawa.
Okay. So please correct me if I'm wrong, everyone else who is tallying, but I have a Colin Hawkins, Donald Enos, and Sam Randawa as the 4, 4, and 4, and Jiggy Sorrell of 3.
Sounds good. I move that we finalize that appointment of Hawkins, Enos, and Randawa to the Planning Commission.
Just a point of order, just because we don't do this very often, can we do all three at once, or do we have to do it individually?
Once.
We can.
Okay.
Mary, would you ask for the vote?
Just a little second.
Yeah. So, could I have a motion to accept those?
We got the motion and second. I'm just saying you can ask us to say aye.
Yeah. So.
What are the three again?
I could.
Yeah. We have Colin Hawkins, Donald Enos, and Sam Randawa.
Okay, all those in favor of those three candidates, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. Any abstaining? So that is passed 5-0. Okay. Moving on, we have Ordinance 24-3020, amending the 2024 budget. Ms. Fidel.
Madam Mayor, so this ordinance is to amend the 2024 budget. It's required to be approved before December 31st in order to be in alignment with the RCW should a budget amendment be needed. We've met with all of the management team and anyone else that was needed in order to have a projection for where I think we're going to finish the year for both revenue and expenditures in each of our funds. The budget amendments are outlined in the RFCA but are as follows. So the general fund equipment reserve, that fund is being closed in 2024, and the amendment is to increase the existing budget. These are the expenditures, appropriations to that account because there was additional interest income earned, and those funds have been subsequently transferred to Fund 101. So that's a $10 increase. For the general obligation debt, this amendment increases the existing budget by $3,500 to cover the debt payments that were made. Fund 314 for the Park Capital Improvement Project Funds. This amendment increases the existing budget by $35,000 to cover additional capital costs. Some of those costs were partially offset by grant income received. However, the budget amendment is only for expenditures for appropriations. And finally, in the Stormwater Fund 425, this amendment increases the existing budget by $150,000 to cover unbudgeted repairs to both the vac and sweeper trucks in 2024, as well as about $10,000 in other needed repairs. So repairs are about $60,000. There were additional costs to the stormwater comp plan, approximately $25,000. And then there were about $65,000 in transfers that were within the fund itself. So it's reported both as a revenue and as an expenditure. And so it nets to zero inside the fund because it's a utility fund and it covers both the operations and the capital portion. But since it was an additional over what was budgeted, we still have to include it in the additional budget appropriations amendment. Thank you.
Are there any questions?
I've got a couple quick questions. Specifically for the, you know, the parks fund, it says to cover capital expenses. What capital expenses are we looking at specifically with that? And why is it so much over the budgeted amount?
Just a moment.
Sure.
Great, so the main overage is for the Marine Park shoreline reconstruction, so it's really a timing issue, I think, with that project. So it came in at $451,029.75, and the budget was $350,000.
Say those numbers again, I'm sorry.
The year to date through November is $451,229.75, and the budgeted amount was $350,000. And so a lot of that was offset by state grant income that was received in the amount of almost $326,000.
Okay, that seems like a lot of overages. Mike, do you have any?
Yeah. Go ahead, Mr. Miller.
The project didn't go over. It's the timing of when the project hit the budget.
Okay, gotcha.
So the total project, to get Alex to jump in, I think we had one or two change orders for very small amounts. But when we plan to expense the project and how it lines up with the budget is what we're correcting.
I gotcha. Okay, great. And then, I guess that's it. Thank you.
Any further questions?
Was part of that, I'm hard of hearing, but was part of that why we were over, because we're buying some new stuff for down the road. We were going to buy some equipment for down the road, like transformers and having stuff. Is that in that? Am I talking a different?
Go ahead, Mr.
Chairman. The classic example is Boblett Street. We budgeted for all of Boblett to be constructed this year, so we've got all the budget authority to do it. But in reality, part of Boblett's going to spill over next year. So the cash is still in the fund. The project ain't getting more expensive. It's just next year our budget's going to be a little bit short because we wanted all of that construction to happen this fiscal year. That's the same way with this project.
Are you talking about the generalization?
Yes.
Any further questions? Could I have a motion then to pass ordinance 24-3020, amending the 2024 budget?
So
Mr. Hill, did you second that?
Second.
Any further discussion before we vote? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstaining? Okay, that is passed 6-0. Going on to ordinance 24-3021, approve the final plat of East Maple Ridge Division 4. Mr. Wayman, please.
Yes, thank you, Madam Mayor and City Council. This is a final plat application. So unlike other applications, this is an application to finalize the subdivision, the fourth division of East Maple Ridge. And in this scenario, all the construction essentially has already occurred, and this is just a formality of signing off on the final subdivision. So I'll just walk you through the project here. And maybe just next arrow. So this is the approximate vicinity. We're talking about East Maple Ridge up here on the hill. There's the entirety of the project boundaries. Next slide. So we have gone through a number of phases with this project. Preliminary plat approvals are being completed along with the planning and development. We've gone through the environmental review under CEPA in critical areas. Final plat applications have already been signed off on for divisions 1, 2, and 3. And this particular proposal is in this area highlighted on the map there. So there's approximately 31 single family homes in this division. And then it also includes a secondary tract there being highlighted in orange, or a future subdivision in the future. So, approximately 31, or there are 31 single family home lots in this division. You can see them here on your screen, zooming in a little bit. All the lots are pretty standard, 50 feet wide. There's some various sizes in there. It'll make for a nice, single-family community. There's a multifamily tract in there as well. And then this is the other piece of this division, Division 4, going down to 8th Street at the very bottom of your screen. There's a stormwater tract at the bottom of that cul-de-sac. So all these improvements are installed. This is ready to go. There's a few minor punch list items. This project is processed consistent with state law. The infrastructure has been completed. There is a performance security in place. We will make sure all the punch list items are complete prior to signing the Mylars. There's a public works director and a community development services recommendation of approval in your packet. So at this point, staff is recommending council approve ordinance 24-3021, approving the final plat of East Maple Ridge Division 4. And here are the conditions that we are recommending. I'll just briefly cover these. Just complete and minor administrative modifications, basically one final review by city staff of all the plat drawings. They've been reviewed substantially already, but we just want to do one final review of those. If there's like a little typo or something, we'd fix that. And then basically complete the entire punch list item, all the items on the punch list, or you can bond them per our code with 150% of the bond. And so that's basically it. There was a bond collected for $16,000 to do the stormwater pond plantings at this time. That was the only bondable item. So in other words, this project has been entirely built. There's not a big list of outstanding items. So with that, we're looking for council to sign off on.
Are those three items and? Are the ABC there, are those and or are those R?
Madam Mayor, yeah. So there's a number. A, so it's B and or C. So you either complete all the items. If you don't complete them, then you do a bond.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any further questions for Mr. Weiner?
Yeah, Andrew, can you get back to the slide where you have the two colored outlines on the two sections there?
Yes. So one more. There we go. There it is.
Yeah. So is what we're being asked to... This ordinance we're approving today, is that only approving the planning of those two colored surrounded areas that you've got there, the yellow area and the orange area?
Correct. Yeah, so the orange area actually is just one big tract.
Sure, yeah. But I'm just saying that that's the part we're approving today, because I'm seeing this whole rest of this picture. Is the rest of that picture all just theoretical for now? That's not, or is that already planted?
Oh, that's a great question. The rest of the picture has already been completed.
So that part's already been, the rest of that is already been platted. The part, the two new parts we're adding currently are just not in the platting the city has until we approve it tonight.
Yeah, let me explain it another way. So the remainder of that rendering up there, which is the PUD site plan, which has been slightly modified twice now, all the construction is done in the yellow area. And so that's what you're being asked to finalize the final plat for. And the orange area is a future track to be developed later.
But is that being covered by the motion we're being asked to make?
Is it? Technically, it's included because it's a big future development track, but it'll be further subdivided.
But the rest of that rendering is already done, deal?
Yes, and one more point is that none of the street improvements none of the infrastructure or utilities is completed in the orange area. There's some preliminary work in there, but it's not completed in the orange area. Only the yellow. So we're finalizing all the lots in the yellow area, and we'll come back with a future subdivision and a final plat for the orange area at a later date.
Okay, thank you.
Any questions? I have a motion then to approve Eric Lewis and Mike Hill. Thank you. Any further questions before we take the vote? All those in favor of approval of Ordinance 24-3021, the final plat of the plat of East Maple Ridge, Division 4, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstaining? That is passed 6-0. I would like to thank J&J Corp for building a subdivision that has a variety of housing, allowing us to have housing available for different people with different needs, rather than just having one big development with nothing but three-bedroom homes. I really appreciate that, and thank you. Okay. Moving on then to Resolution 1964-24, updating the purchasing policy. Ms. Fowler.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So we're bringing forward today the purchasing policy updates. There have been several updates since it was last brought before the council, and this is mainly in response to the auditor management letter comments, stating that our purchasing policy and some of the resolutions that were passed by council were not in alignment, as well as the references that were included in our purchasing policy were out of date. So they were referring to outdated city bidding book by MRSD, and the MRSD small works roster is no longer a printed book. It's now a link on a website, and it takes you through multiple pages. So those references have been updated in the purchasing policy. We added a delegation of authority section just to solidify that the city manager is the first authority, and that he can delegate the purchasing authority to other members of staff through writing. And that's a common practice in accounting, that such designation should be in writing. So that just puts it into the policy. The purchasing policy, purchasing for cities is very complex, and so it's goods, services, or public works. We added definitions of public works and definition of ordinary maintenance, so it could be easily seen all in one policy what the difference is there when we have staff looking at the purchasing policy and going through and deciding what part of it needs to be followed and at what dollar threshold. We added in language from the various RCWs and other references for what is the mandatory responsible bidder criteria for public works. So what do we need to receive as far as bids go? And then what is supplemental criteria, that basis for evaluating each of the bids that comes in? And then what about for small works roster projects less than $350,000? And that is just spelled out into much greater detail. So you'll see that now there's a large section, the smaller section has been removed. And this is really just to make it a lot clearer for those on staff who are doing the purchasing, because it is very complex how cities make purchases, and ensuring that we're in compliance with our bidding requirements, that all of the prevailing wage rules are met, that we, for services, that we've gone out to bid, and that we've gone out to bid for goods or public works projects when needed. And then there was just to, again, flesh out, I suppose, the purchasing policy. We added a section on for federally funded projects, and then, because those have special provisions that are even above and beyond for projects that aren't federally funded. And so included in your council packet is a clean copy of the purchasing policy with all of the chain track changes accepted, and then a copy of the purchasing policy with the track changes on. I did exclude any of the track changes that related to formatting, because then it was very confusing. It's just the track changes that are included are related to the language. Thank you.
Are there any questions from this panel?
Have there been a problem with the, been something that bid splitting policy that needed changes for this?
Bid splitting?
Yes.
Let me take a look. So, bid splitting, let me go see what, which is 7.1 and 9.1.
I was just asking if that section had needed a change.
No, not for section 7.1 on bid splitting. For bid splitting under public works, we added language about a level up approach. And so that's just, if you intend to, you can't split the project in order to be under the thresholds for bid splitting. And so if you go through the competitive bid process, and you intend to split the work, you still need to put it all back together.
You have to aggregate it.
You have to aggregate it. And so that's just detailed out in there that, in fact, you do have to re-aggregate it. And whether that's, you know, it shouldn't be done intentionally, but unintentionally, right? You might have labor from one contractor, materials from another contractor, and maybe you have design from a third contractor. Well, all of those things need to be aggregated in order to determine if you have met that threshold to go over the $350,000. And if you do, then the whole bid process needs to be followed, and if it's not, then you don't. So really, at the very beginning of the project, we need to have an estimate from an engineer to determine how much the overall project is going to be, so that way we can ensure and follow bid law from the design point forward.
Any further questions? Okay. If we have a motion to approve the resolution 1964-24. Second. Moved by Eric Lewis, seconded by Ms. Rich. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstained? Passes 6-0. And finally, purchase of salt spreader by the Streets Department. Mr. Gandy, please.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So this is a request for purchase of two salt spreaders for our winterization project process. So basically, Public Works went out to get proposals. We published on November 6th and closed it on November 21st. We got no bids. Nelson Truck Equipment Company sent us an email with a quote at a later date. So the quote was for $23,198.12 for two of them. So the project is already budgeted within the 2024 CIP for purchase of machinery and equipment within the street fund. So we request council to approve the purchase and authorize city manager to execute the purchase order with Nelson Truckman.
Are there any questions for Mr. Gandhi, please?
Yeah, I have a question. Does that $22,000 get equipment that we attach to a truck, or does that get a whole vehicle?
I wish I could get it, but it's only the equipment.
As an attachment that we put on
the truck? Yeah, on this truck, yeah.
Two.
Two of them.
Two. Oh,
yeah.
23,000 gets us two?
Two, yeah.
Okay.
Each is 11,500.
Okay.
Any other further questions for Mr. Gandhi? Can I have a motion, please, to purchase a salt spreader?
Move.
Mr. Lewis, second Mr. Hill. Thank you. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? This is passed 6-0.
Thank you, Madam.
Okay, going on to commission, committee, and board reports. Does anyone have anything they want to add on to that? If not, we'll move on to department reports. City Manager, Mr. Harmon.
Mayor, I'm going to say one voice for example.
Yeah. Okay. Public Works Department, Mr. Gandhi, please.
Thank you, Madam. I just wanted to give an update on the Bob Ressley Channelization Project. So we did bottom roof on paving, uphill on the east side, and uphill the round walk. We prepared the bottom roof paving on Friday. On Monday today, we did the concrete work, so we completed all the stamp concrete and any electrical, any tie-ins. We're paving to the roundabout on the top lift tomorrow morning, should be completed by afternoon. And then we would be opening the entry to the trucks to Chapman Foods as well as the other TD trading. And the trucks, the equipment that's parked on the liquid will be moved. And moving forward, we will be discussing how to proceed with the other section on the west side and connecting into 548. Questions?
Okay. Community Development Services, Mr. Wanger?
Yes, Council. I'd like to give just an update on our comprehensive plan. Frankly, it's going a little slower than I would like. We're trying to make some progress on that, but we're continuing to wait for Whatcom County Planning Commission to make a recommendation to Whatcom County City Council on the final growth projections. So until we have those numbers, we don't really have numbers to plan for. As such, and due to some overlapping meetings, we've canceled our the City of Blaine Planning Commission meeting, which was scheduled for later this week. Whatcom County Planning Commission is having a meeting that same evening. It's a virtual meeting where they're going to be talking about these growth projections and formulating their recommendation to County Whatcom County Council. That meeting's at 6:30, December 12th. It's open to the public. There's a hybrid option to attend. And I will be attending representing the City of Blaine. So I'm hoping to get some traction here and move forward. I do understand Linden and Ferndale are also in the similar situation as us, and everyone is eager to get those numbers so we can get started. We also have a presentation to the Salishan neighborhood scheduled for January 9th, and so we're looking forward to attending that meeting and giving an update on where we're at that time.
I believe that was the 8th.
Oh, okay, I have to double check.
Yeah, that's what we
publicized. Alright, well thank you for that note. I'm glad I brought that up.
You have the direct source right here.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, well that concludes my update on the comp plan. I'd actually like to, can I just go down this list of updates? Would that be all right? Mm-hmm. Okay, excellent. So for our downtown revitalization project, we do have a hearing for a shoreline substantial development permit with our hearing examiner this Wednesday, December 11th at 3 p.m. So looking forward to moving that project in front of our hearing examiner and hopefully getting some the permitting approvals that we need to move forward, and our public works department and city can move forward with bidding the project later in the year or beginning of next year at this point. I did want to mention that our hearing examiner also heard a PUD amendment proposal for the Resort Semiahmoo Master Plan, Semiahmoo SPIT, PUD 2024 amendment. So unlike a change to our zoning or comp plan that is a legislative item, this is a quasi-judicial item. So that is much different in the process. So our hearing examiner is going to take all the comments and the entire record and package that up. And as city council members who make the final decision on that, it's important you only consider the items that are in that hearing examiner recommendation. So if you want to talk to your neighbors or somebody submits a comment on that proposal, that's outside the record. And I would encourage you not to consider those comments. You only consider the comments that are inside the record, part of the hearing examiner's recommendation. So that's pretty much the opposite of a legislative item. So I just want to be super clear with all the city council members. You know, that's just consider what the hearing examiner gives you. And we haven't received that yet, so we'll likely bring that forward in our first meeting in January.
I need some clarification on that. Absolutely. Did I recuse myself because I own a slip at Semiahmoo Marina?
That would probably be good, yes. So when that comes forward, in that first meeting in January, you'll have the opportunity to do that. So finally, I just wanted to mention that you've received some public comments and some other comments. So we post comments that are part of the record on our city website. We do that as a kind of a supplementary public notice requirement. It's not one of the minimum requirements for us to do that. So another way to say that is we don't have to put anything on the website. We build a website and put all that information on our city website as a courtesy to the public. We want to be transparent. We want that information to be readily available so our citizens can get on the internet and read about these projects and learn about them and get information on them. So there is no like time mandate to post that information on our web pages. We do that in a timely manner. For example, before we give you the packet for one of these things, we'll make sure all the comments on there, but there is no like requirement to be posting those things on the website. So I just want to make sure everyone's clear on that.
Excuse me, Alex, do we have the authority to not post comments on there if we think that they're slanders?
No, we would, well, it's a good question.
Foul language and a lot of inappropriate comments and things that we have the prerogative to not post them.
Well, let me say this. We will post anything on there that's critical of the city or city staff, or you know, if there's you know does not agree with the process or you know the recommendations coming out of the city. We will post those comments. If there's things that are inappropriate, or you know, I would coordinate those with the city clerk's office. If there's something that needed to be retracted from those, maybe we would black it out. I'm not sure exactly if that situation were to occur, I would confer with the city clerk's office.
And whose discretion would that be to make it a not this one kind of judgment?
I don't think we've done that before, but
it hasn't come up.
It hasn't come up.
Right. Mr. Herman?
If we're screening speech, that's going to be a decision that's ran through Peter and myself before we do that.
Okay.
Yes, we've never done that, so.
I did have a question. If you're talking about things that were going to be in the packet or in the record,
yes.
So are you saying public comment that comes in would be part of that record?
So absolutely. So our hearing, yes, Madam Mayor. Yes, so our hearing examiner holds a public hearing.
Yes.
To collect all the comments, and of course city staff collects those comments too and puts them all in the record. So when the recommendation comes to you, all of those things will be in the record.
But that would include emails received up until the time that that's closed?
Yes, that's right. And so if an email came, let's say after that time was closed, it would be omitted because it's not part of the record.
Okay, so people who generally want to contribute some kind of input have a window in which they could do so, but that window at some point has to be finished. And then no new thing can go in there after that point.
Absolutely. And that's why we post those public notices and ask for guessing. That's right. All right. Well, that concludes my updates. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Wayman. Okay. That concludes department reports. And there are some calendars. Erica, no, he's shaking his head.
You don't want to share with us the fun you had at the roundabout? And how you responded?
If you want to hear about our reaction to Taylor Swift coming to Vancouver, I can certainly give you that update now, right? I'm not saying shaking.
But you could at least share the fun part that you showed me.
I saw an uptick in traffic.
really briefly, Taylor Swift was in Vancouver. That concert created a tremendous amount of traffic on almost every street in Blaine, also the Linden crossing. We reacted to that with extra patrols and mutual aid from the sheriff's office and social media posts and everything else we could to try to minimize the impact.
Actually, Funk showed me a photo of one of the officers who was sporting several friendship bracelets that he put on his photos. Given him while he was directing traffic.
I actually saw border officials working booths with friendship. It was sort of friendship bracelets in the middle of letting people in and out of the country.
That's why it's so awesome.
I have nothing else.
Okay, there's some calendars. Could I just ask a question for clarification? Mr. Crawford, is December 23rd, 2024, it is 6 p.m. is the time of the city council meeting?
So that was the original time that was established via the resolution that council voted on last November. Actually, not last one, the year before that. However, council just voted tonight to change that 6 p.m. meeting to 9:30 a.m. as just kind of tradition over the past few decades.
Okay, thank you. Okay, and council and finished business? Anyone wants to bring anything up? Council, new business and dialogue? Okay, we do have an executive session dated December the 9th. Starting time will be 7:02 p.m. The council will now meet in executive session to discuss collective bargaining pursuant to RCW 42.30.1404B. The council will be in executive session until...
30 minutes?
Mayor, let's start with
15.
20 minutes to start.
Till 7:20. The council is not expected to take further action following the executive session.
The council is extending the executive session for a period of 5 minutes until 7:27. The council is extending the executive session for a period of 5 minutes until 7:33.
Regular meeting back to order. After our executive session, and no action will be taken. If there is no further new business, I will adjourn the meeting at 7:33.